Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Ramon Foster Show. I'm not DK again, Ramon. we promised DK and we didn't deliver. We're brought to you by the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where everything is served up hot and fresh. I'm still trying to sip that coffee to keep me going, man. I'm still recovering from the weekend with all this penguin stuff. But obviously no DK today. DK is under the weather and asked me to fill in again. So for those in the comments section that were not okay with my Dan Marino takes and my Antonio Brown takes, I apologize that you have to deal with me for a second day in a row. But Ramon, it's good to see you again, man. How's it going, buddy?
It is, man. And somebody, you had some slander from one of your friends yesterday, too, man. I don't even know if you want to call your friend. They called him, what did he say, DK's little troll or whatever.
The DK Pittsburgh sports leprechaun. Yeah, shout out to Tyler Weeks and Smitty. Smitty is our social media guy, and I didn't shout him out for the first segment idea. That was his idea yesterday. Yeah. And so his co-host Tyler Weeks on Around the 412 show, they kind of came at my neck last night. So I guess I deserved it, man. But
well, and Zach got, oh, Smitty, that's Smitty.
Yeah, that's Smitty. That's Smitty. Yeah.
Smitty threw tomatoes at you, man.
I know, man. And you know, I despite the red beard, I'm Italian. So, I mean, I love tomatoes, man. you know who else the city of Pittsburgh loves throwing tomatoes at, Ramon?
Who's that?
Talk to me. Antonio Brown. And look, Antonio Brown got on Twitter yesterday and he had to go out and say, he said he wants to retire a Steeler on Twitter. Now, I guess he clarified, said that he didn't want to come back and play. He just wanted to sign one of those one-day contracts and retire a Steeler. But it brought up a good conversation on Twitter and, you know, in the comments section and everything that you were having. And I say good conversation lightly because it kind of got a little crazy.
It did.
But Steeler for life.
Yeah.
You talked about that and you got some pushback. To you as a Steeler, as someone that was a Steeler for life, what does that phrase mean to you? Because there's a lot of players. You brought up Rod Woodson, you know, as one of them who went on and won a Super Bowl somewhere else. But I mean, he's loved. He's universally loved in this city. Yeah. So why him and not Antonio Brown? What's your take as a former Steeler who played in the NFL for, you know, what, 10, 11 years that was a Steeler for life? What's your thoughts on it?
And by the way, the conversation wasn't malicious or anything like that.
No, not at all.
A real question. And it was a great discussion. And you can tell it was a bunch of emotions that came into it. I'll give a shout out to who I quote tweeted about it. When AB did it, I quote tweeted him and just said, once a Steeler, always one, right? I was like, remember that. Don't go against it now. # Steeler Nation. And we had a guy, give credit to where he's due. Ryan Marshall said, I'm not sure if that's his real name, but he's got black and gold in his handle. Right. And he's got, far be it from me to argue with Moan. I appreciate the respect back there. You are entitled to your opinion. But he said, once you win a championship with other colors, I don't see you as ours no more. And that's where I went into the conversation. I said, well, that goes for Rod Woodson, too. I was like, just trying to see where we cross it off. Or Plax, or Larry Foote, Byron, Randall L., Emmanuel Sanders. And the list truly does go on to other players.
It really does, man.
I'm not even sure as far as guys you know, in the 70s era that, you know, went to other teams or did something different or, mm-hmm. you know, just as far as, I mean, Joe Green coached at other organizations also. But I was always taught by the city, by the coaches, by the front office, by everybody, once a Steeler, always a Steeler, no matter what.
That's how it was for me, man. Yeah. I mean, as a fan, it's once a Steeler, always a Steeler. You're always a part of the, you know.
Yeah, and I've met with teammates before. Rocky Boardman's the guy I have on my show here in Nashville, and he's in the Cincinnati area. I think he plays for the Bengals, played for the Titans also, but he was one of my teammates. He's a Steeler also. So I'm just naming, you know, just random names of guys that's walked in that locker room that I've bled with, sweated with, all those types of things. And I'm just like, well, when it comes to AB, I know he's a very polarizing guy. I know he hit a bunch of people in the shins when it came down to what he had to say. If you listen to Ryan Clark's The Pivot, shout out to RC, also another guy that's a Steeler for life. Yep. He had AB on and it kind of hashed out their differences and stuff.
And
like
that was that was a really great episode too, man. I watched that whole thing. That was shout out to that podcast. They're a great show and that was a great interview.
Mm-hmm. But the thing was, it got me with it when they got down to the nitty gritty of asking him, you know, who was your favorite quarterback, who's your best quarterback, and AB indirectly answered it, who did I eat with the best? It was Ben. And he said it in that. He was like, Ben and I probably had the best chemistry of everybody involved, including Tom. Yeah. When asking who's his favorite quarterback, AB, to me, I think made the business decision of going to chase the ring, because in his mind, that's what justifies being great. He felt Tom and the teams that he was with allowed him to get to that point. Again, time heals all. And I know forever the AB conversation, does he belong or does he not, is always going to be brought up. But I'm here to tell you in my personal opinion of it. And you can feel how you ever want to feel about it to Eddie and to anybody else. I'm always open for discussion. And we're always in the comments when it comes down to, you know, hashing stuff out. But AB is a Steeler. It's where he spent most of his time at. It's where we as a group in this new era of, I probably say, one of the more exciting eras that we've had. I know we didn't win the Super Bowl, but you can't say, you didn't walk into the stadium saying, damn it, this is our year. This is our game, no matter who we were playing. And he played a big role in
that.
Yes,
he did. I mean, Mo, for me, again, you know, we talked about this the first time I was on the show with you last Thursday about that offense and how fun that offense was to watch from a fan standpoint. And for me, Antonio Brown, and this is no disrespect to, you know, Julio Jones and all the other guys, you know, that were receivers in his, you know, like his contemporaries.
Yeah, his era.
Yeah, but he's the number one receiver of his era when you look at the numbers. I don't know how you argue against that. When you look at that 5 or 6 year period where him and Ben Roethlisberger were clicking and everything was working. Yep. I mean, triple teamed and still catching 40, 50 yard touchdown passes. He was doing things that opened up everything else for the offense. It wasn't just that he was great. He was making everyone else around him great because of how good he was.
So and we saw that.
Yeah. For me, I can't sit here and say that he's not a Steeler for life because of all of the joy and all of the excitement that he brought fans. I think we forget because of how it ended. We forget all of that.
100%.
And I think if anybody was going to feel personal about it, if anybody was going to take some kind of, you know, slight towards what Antonio Brown did, it should be his teammates, you know, from an outsider's perspective, because he's the one, or you guys are the ones he walked out on. But I'm hearing you say, as one of his teammates, that it's not personal. It was just business.
It wasn't personal, and I understood it in the time being. Yeah, it was just like, God, dog. But I'll say this. As far as the importance of Antonio to Pittsburgh, you can't deny it at
all. No, you can't. There's no way.
Say this. As far as his personal life, fine. We've seen other guys go through personal stuff and still get in the Hall of Fame, too. Mm-hmm. But I've always categorized a guy that's going to make the Hall of Fame. You got to at least rule an era. And AB did. Three All-Pros and potentially – 5 or more Pro Bowls is going to get you there, because the All Pros hold more. And for Antonio Brown, 4 first team All Pros, 1 second team All Pro, 7 Pro Bowls, 2-time NFL receiving yards leader, 2-time NFL receptions leader, again, quarterbacking and wide receiver tandem, and also the 2018 receiving touchdown leader also. So to say that he didn't do all of those things while wearing black and gold, I think is very neglectful. And again, I'm a person, I understand the emotions of what he is. But the one thing that made me okay with what the tweet of him, I want to retire Steeler, is the fact that he's not trying to play. Right. If he's had that dose of reality that said to himself, I got to make this right. I need a home when it comes down to me and my football career, and it lies in Pittsburgh. That's the same thing that Kevin Green, God rest his soul, did the exact same thing also.
Yep. And, as a fan base, I'm all about, second chances and forgiving people. And just, at the end of the day, it's sports. And, like you said, he's got a bunch of personal stuff. But, we're talking sports right now. We're talking football. And I say, I'm with you, man. Once a Steeler, always a Steeler. He wants to retire in black and gold. I'll be the first person to break out the 84 jersey and walk it over to him, man.
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more of the Ramon Foster Show right after this.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. You know, we've been talking about Antonio Brown wanting to retire a Steeler, what it means to be once a Steeler, always a Steeler. And you brought up a good thing in the break just now, Ramon. Separating the athlete and the player from the actual person. And I feel like fans sometimes, and I'm speaking from experience now, we have a hard time doing that sometimes. And we're a little harsh on people. And I'll give you, before you get into what you want to talk about, a perfect example of that. Is the NHL, like, we just got done with the Penguins being in the NHL playoffs, and everybody's got something to say about how these hockey players perform. And then all of a sudden, the day that the season ends, and it comes out like, well, so and so is playing on a broken foot, and so and so is playing when had a dislocated shoulder, so and so had this, so and so had that. Yeah. Now all of a sudden, you realize, maybe it shouldn't have been as personal. Maybe we don't know the whole story, and so. From an athlete's perspective, from the guy that's been in the locker room, from the guy that's been, that's probably had those things said about you at some point in time in your career. Why is it so important for fans and, the media, everybody involved to do a better job of separating the person, Ramon Foster or Antonio Brown or Ben Roethlisberger, from the player on the field that we see every Sunday?
Because I'll say this, sometimes when you're in this industry of being a public figure, and I was a public figure, not a huge one, potentially, but even in my experiences of navigating that world, man, there, you got to pretty much have like 3 or 4 or 10 different faces that you have to put on in any apparent time. And I know the first thing that'll come up with, that's what the money for. And I'll say that anytime, but I've seen guys that were big time stars have to navigate some things that weren't pretty. The struggles to get to that point weren't nice. And even while doing it, it is some bad stuff, even from the fan base that absolutely loves you. And as far as AB goes, everybody know his story or heard of his journey into getting through life as an early adolescent. You know what I'm saying? And to get to that point, I remember specifically his rookie year before everything turned on. They ended up picking Emmanuel Sanders over him as far as going to play. One, he was just good at the time. You can't deny that.
Yep.
But that fire of, AB inherited from being held back from not starting. I'll never forget the conversation we had before he actually friggin' took off. We were in the sauna on the south side. And he was frustrated, not playing, at a point to where he was like, big bro, what am I doing wrong? And, I just told him, man, keep working. Keep going. I was like, because eventually the cream rises to the top. And when your opportunity come, you got to knock it off as hard as you can and never go back to it. And about maybe 4 to 6 weeks later, he gets that opportunity. And then the legend of AB is born. And not just that, man. And I think you can always look into the family dynamics, the trauma that a person kind of has and why they act out a certain way. So I saw him go from Antonio to AB to now he's this, I've heard him say it on that RC podcast. He's an, you know, he's trying to be an icon. He's trying to be an entertainer.
Right.
And for God has come from that point to where I'll say this too, the fan base, your ego, the back patters, the yes men get you to a point in which you start to feel invincible. But the guy that I know, Antonio, was a humble dude, soft-spoken. Anytime I asked him to do something, he would. Now, I know he's had some situations where he may not have shown up to an autograph signing. But I'll tell you this, that world that you live in of being a superstar, I probably couldn't handle it. And I'll be honest with you, I probably wouldn't want it.
But Ramon,
just simply because you got to be on. It would be times we would be going to the airport on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And we're at Antonio Brown's condo up on Mount Washington. Now, you couldn't miss the house. Everybody knew in Pittsburgh, Antonio Brown drove a Rolls-Royce Phantom outside of this place that we stayed at. We go over there, chill out. He have his chef cook for us. By the way, I never had an on-call chef. He did. But we go there, the chef would cook food for us before we went to the away games, okay? And it'd be a point we'd be sitting out on this balcony just overlooking the city, a beautiful place. I don't know if he was renting it or if he bought it. Either way, it was a beautiful place. And let me tell you just about what the stardom of the ego can do for you. We'd be out there pouncing, I would, and it'd be people just walking by, trying to get a glimpse of Antonio Brown because they know he's in the house because the car is there. Now, I got to ask a regular person, what would you do in that situation when it comes down to you handling what that entails? You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't saying it's excusable at all, Eddie. But that's a different lifestyle.
No, and see, that's the thing. And that's the human side that I think a lot of us forget. I mean, it starts from the very bottom. You know, like I said this a couple of times, like I coach high school football and I got the pleasure of coaching Paris Ford, ex-Pitt player. And I mean, just a wonderful, wonderful person. And you see like how many, like I remember Steel Valley played Brentwood High School. Okay.
Yeah.
For those of you in Pittsburgh, you know where these neighborhoods are. Two small neighborhoods, Munhall and Brentwood. And he had little kids.
I stayed in Brentwood.
Yeah. He had little kids on the Brentwood that were Brentwood fans because we were away that game as a senior in high school wanting to take photos with him.
Yeah.
Right. So this doesn't isn't a thing where like when you're at the AB level, when you're at that like superstar level, this starts in high school, man, where people they just want to be around you. And so you never have that personal time. You never have that personal space. When you're a pro, you're handed this lump sum of money that you probably have never seen before. And you, unless you have the right crowd around you, you don't know how to do that and navigate that. There's no way, man. And so, you know, this is like life-changing stuff that happens in the most formative years of these young guys' lives. Mm-hmm. And then they're expected just to handle it perfectly. And if they don't handle it perfectly, then, you know, they're these terrible. Right. And I mean, like, I know I'm partly at fault because I'm a part of the media and a part of the fan bases. But I mean, like, there's got to be a degree of grace. And I don't want to get too serious on this show, but there's got to be a degree of grace and like a degree of like patience with these, you know, superstar athletes as they're trying to navigate this. And you're like you said, it doesn't excuse everything.
No,
but it's got to be, you know, there's got to be something there, you know.
I had a similar situation like that. I was telling you, we went to go see Joey Porter Jr. play football at what school is he at?
North Catholic.
And they were playing against a rival. I'm not sure if it was Pine Richland or whoever it was. They were playing somebody that night. And everybody was there. Me, Marquise, I think Alejandro was even there. Joey Porter was there himself, okay? Mm-hmm. Every guy pretty much that was a starter because it was a big game for everybody to be there. And lo and behold, we're in the stands sitting, chilling by ourselves, and I hear commotion at the gate. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And we're sitting around, and it was a cool night. It was like cold, maybe 40s, okay?
Yeah.
Decent night in the fall for football. And out of nowhere, you see Antonio with the fur coat on, okay? And we're cold in the stands, okay? We're sitting down. The crowd follows him from the entrance all the way up to where all the other players were, and nobody was really bothering us. AB shows up, the crowd navigates like a flock of ants carrying a gumdrop, okay, up the stands. And when AB came up there and positioned himself around us, the space that we were in got warm. It got hot because there was so many people around. Now, you mean to tell me in the crowd, you got Joey Porter, you got starters that's on the offense and defense, you got all kind of people that you recognize and know around the city of Pittsburgh.
Yep.
But as soon as Antonio Brown shows up, the crowd flocks. For any normal human being, it would trigger something in you to feel whether it's your importance. It's something that makes you feel above. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's got to be hard to handle. And again, Eddie, you just said it. It's inexcusable, but the person is still in that box. And I think at those tweets right there, when he said, I want to retire still, and for clarity, I don't want to play, just retire. I think the human aspect of the guy we know and love came out.
I think so too, for sure. Man, this is a conversation I think that needs to be had, but they could be had. This is not a 10-minute conversation, man. Like I'm sure we could take a couple episodes talking about this, you know. But we do got to get to another break. When we come back, we'll have our Hey Moan segment. As always, question from one of you guys. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. This is our Hey Moan segment. As always, questions from you guys. We've got one here from somebody on YouTube named State of the Steelers, who says, Hey Moan, with the recent comment from Kenny Pickett referencing Ben Roethlisberger calling him, do you think Big Ben has called Mason or Mitch since his retirement? Great show as always. Now, I'm going to preface this with, there was a report. All right. And I say that it's just a report. I don't know that there's any truth to it or anything like that, but it's a reputable guy, Jerry Dulac, was asked a question that says, is there bad blood between the Steelers and Big Ben with how his career ended? Was he ready to retire, or was it a Troy type situation where he was forced into it? Dulac responded, I would say it's very, very safe to assume that. I believe there is some truth there. Right. Now, I haven't heard anything of that. Jerry Dulac's around the team. I'm not questioning, Jerry Dulac's integrity or anything like that. But it does beg the question, there was always rumors that Mason and Ben didn't have a great relationship. And so the fact that he called Kenny Pickett and had this, what's from Kenny Pickett's standpoint, a really good conversation with Kenny, to me kind of puts to bed any rumors that there would be bad blood, because why would he reach out to the rookie quarterback that's, basically his heir apparent. So, Ben Roethlisberger, Jerry, the organization. Yeah. What's your thoughts on this? The phone call, the rumors, all of it. Like what's Ramon's take on all this?
Jerry's always great reputation by itself, and you mentioned his name. Yeah. He stands on it. So I won't question his report at all when it comes down to it. I'll just say this, if he called Kenny already, let me just be frank with you. One, Kenny's not a threat to him at all.
He's retired. It's over and done with, right?
It's over and done with. It's easy to be a mentor when it comes down to that. And also being a first rounder coming in and having a couple of guys incumbent already slated to either start or be ahead of you, Ben went through that. Maybe he feels a certain type of way about this kid to be able to mentor him as opposed to Mason or somebody else. So,
and I'm sure he knew Kenny Pickett as well, with them being in the same facility for however many years. So, there's probably already a relationship.
Exactly. So, and the other part is this, we talked about this last week when it came down to Tannehill versus Malik Willis. It's not my job to mentor this guy while I'm also doing my job. I think you got to put things into context when it comes down to him calling Kenny as him, having a strong relationship with Mason Rudolph at the end of the day. So I'll say this. It's easy to mentor Kenny being out of the room, out of the building, away from the franchise, than it would have been to be, all the reports we've heard with Mason is they had a first round grade on him. He's projected, as far as the Steelers scouting room, as having a first round grade. So why would I honestly pour into him to take my job? So I know the good teammate aspect of that sounds bad, but when you're the starting quarterback, you're one of the 32 best in the world. Nobody currently in that position is trying to groom somebody else to take their position. So in defense of Ben versus Mason and the call and stuff like that, as far as Ben leaving on bad blood or bad terms, it could be an inkling. Maybe he didn't want to take the pay cut. You know what I'm saying? To stay around. Possibly. If you were to ask me if there was one thing that really got him, and not even really got him, being a quarterback in this NFL made a good chunk of change. Okay,
he's not hurting. I think he's gonna be okay, man. I think it's gonna work out okay for him and his family.
Yeah. To succumb to that, if that was a one blip, I don't necessarily think that's bad blood. I'll say this: Ben got an opportunity to go out the way he wanted to.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that walk around that he got at the stadium that last game, who did they end up beating? The Browns.
Yeah.
The team that could have and should have drafted him. Well, yeah. I mean, I thought that was a hell of a walk off.
And that's the thing. I watch the whole thing from at the end of last season. You know, the game against the Browns, the playoff game against the Chiefs, the retirement announcement and the video that went out. He did a really good job of hiding that he was upset with the organization, or it just wasn't there. And maybe, you know, I'm not on the inside like Jerry is. So I'm speculating, but
yeah.
To me, I didn't see any of it. That's all I can say is I didn't see an ounce of it.
You couldn't have told me that was the case when that report was brought out. And I'll say this too, going into that last year, pull the curtain back a little bit. When Pounce retired, you know, I had a conversation with Ben about like, hey, he wanted Pounce there for his last ride. Also, and Pounce was just like, man, I'm you know what I'm saying? It was already done as far as Pounce's mentality and you know, surviving another camp and the beating on the body, because that's the thing about offensive line is we don't have a choice but to go B-Fields go every single play. So to say that it was forced or Ben didn't know the end was coming or it was, you know, the end of it all, I think Ben was at a very good place when his last season came about. And I say this, I think he'd rather have been done, and I have to get him on this show too. That's one I'm also promising to get on too at some point, is Ben, to really talk about that last journey, the first start versus the last start in the regular season, and be like, you were ready, you know, just to clear that up at some point. And I'm sure somebody else can get to him quicker. Well, maybe not quicker than this, I can text him right now. But as far as hearing the story of that, I don't think it's the same stories that we heard, you know, with Troy. And Troy kind of voiced that a little bit too.
Yeah.
We didn't get that from Ben.
But I feel like even Troy, like over time, if you listen to his Hall of Fame speech, even Troy kind of like, you know, let bygones be bygones. Like, of you know, course. He doesn't seem like he's holding any grudges anymore. So, I mean, like, I think a lot of this, again, we talked about this in the last segment about, you know, the media and fans kind of, you know, digging into things too much. I think this is just another thing of this, something that was probably there that was small, like you said, that got overblown, that just got blown up into something that it wasn't.
The negative press always grows a whole lot more legs than the positive.
Yes, it does. And you know what? That's exactly right. I'll just leave it there. That's exactly right. That, you know, when you get a negative something like that, it's either going to get people to lash out and be like, no, there's no way that's true, or can you believe this is what's going on? It's always going to get some kind of reaction, for sure.
Not discrediting Jared. From my understanding,
No.
Good insider. Yeah, okay. So
make that very clear. Make that very clear, for sure.
There may be some smoke there, but from my impression and talking to Seven, the text, the calls, he was good and at a good place.
Yeah, and that's what it looked like from the outside looking in, too. So, Moan, it's been fun again. Hopefully, we'll get DK back tomorrow. Hopefully, he's feeling better. We texted him. It looks like he's sleeping, so hopefully he's getting his rest. But I won't say who's hosting tomorrow. We'll just say the Ramon Foster Show will be back on Wednesday. As always, Ramon, it's been fun hanging out with you, man.
No doubt, Eddie.
All right, for Ramon Foster and DK Pittsburgh Sports, I'm Eddie Provident. We'll catch you later.